Annie Lawrence Darling was in a snit, which she thought she'd successfully concealed from her husband. It didn't help her mood when Max grinned at her, that devil-may-care, damnably attractive grin as they parted on the fog-shrouded boardwalk, each destined for his own establishment of business, and said cheerily, "Hope you feel better soon." "I feel fine," she'd retorted furiously. A benevolent smile this time, which almost prompted her to explode, but she contained her outrage until she'd slammed shut the front door of Death on Demand, which rustled the line of decorative lace-edged red valentines strung above the center aisle. "Fine," she said aloud. Her voice echoed down the central corridor of her beloved mystery bookstore. She flicked on the front lights. Tiny claws clicked against the polished heart pine floor, and the new feline, Dorothy L., frolicked into view. She was already purring. Annie reached down to pick up the kitten, then paused as an awesome growl reverberated, competitive on a sound scale with a Peterbilt truck in fourth gear and straining. "Oh, Agatha," Annie said sadly. Agatha crouched atop the bookcase devoted to Agatha Christie, for whom she was named, amber eyes glowing with fury and heartbreak. The sleek, elegant black cat revved her growl another notch. Annie stepped toward the bookcase, hand outstretched. "Agatha, love, please don't be so angry. Please. I still love you. You're the number one cat, the best cat, the prettiest black cat in the whole world." A whip-quick paw, claws extended, snaked through the air. A livid scratch welled blood on the back of Annie's hand, and a flash of ebony signaled Agatha's abrupt departure into the darkness of the American cozy area between the south wall and a row of diagonal bookcases. Dorothy L. twined around Annie's ankles, her good humor undiminished by the older cat's rage. Annie grabbed a Kleenex from the box behind the cash desk and pressed it against the bleeding scratch, then sighed, scooped up the kitten, and started down the central aisle to the back of Death on Demand. Her goal was the coffee bar, which also, most importantly to felines, was the feeding area. "Agatha doesn't mean to be ugly, Dorothy L., but she's heartbroken. You see, she was the only cat. She's dreadfully jealous of you." Dorothy L., her purr a paean of happiness, wiggled from Annie's hand and wobbled up her arm to poke a tiny pink nose in her ear. Putting the kitten down behind the coffee bar, Annie opened a can most succulently labeled Choice Cuts and Cheese, which she apportioned into two bowls. "Agatha, come here. Breakfast time." Agatha, of course, didn't come. As Cleveland Amory explained so clearly in his delightful book, cats don't come. "You don't want to cut off your nose to spite your face," Annie called as she measured water and coffee. "No, Agatha." "Agatha, it's childish and silly to be jealous." "No, Agatha." Dorothy L. finished her bowl and stepped to the second. "And you're going to be rotund. You can't eat for two cats." Scooping up the fluffy white kitten, Annie carried her back up the center aisle, tucked her on an afghan behind the checkout counter, and went in search of Agatha. She found her, finally, hunkered beneath the delicate fronds of a Whitmani fern. Agatha would not be cajoled, entreated, or enticed, ignoring even a fresh offering of salmon. The look in her burning eyes would have daunted even Nero Wolf. Defeated, Annie walked morosely to the coffee bar. She studied the shelves filled with mugs. Upon each mug was inscribed the title of a famous mystery. Annie picked up No Hero in honor of John P. Marquand's first Mr. Moto book, because Annie clearly was no hero to a certain enraged cat. She poured a cup of Kahlua fudge, but not even the sinfully delicious brew could lift her spirits. Annie felt like a criminal, a betrayer, a heartbreaker. And anybody who didn't think a cat could be jealous, unforgivingly, furiously, pitiably jealous, just didn't know much about cats. "Or people," came the insidious thought.